After watching these two videos on the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board, after spending the last 11 to 12 minutes watching these missionaries and church planters give their testimony about what God is doing, after spending time of just putting my mind's attention and my heart affection just to pray for areas of our world that is so destitute and needs to hear the gospel, I can't help this morning, church family, but respond to say, God, what are you up to and how can I be a part of that? There is a need out there that is so vast and so enormous for us to grasp. We have to come back and say, there must be a response from us as the church. There must be a response for us individually. And where do I get that from? Pull out your sermon notes, and I'm going to spend 5 minutes marching us through what Scripture has to tell us into how to respond to listening to what we've heard today. The first thing is this. I want us to look at how the gospel, how it directs us to share our faith. You see, because we're not a humanitarian program as the church. No, we have more than just doing good deeds. We do it for the sake of the gospel. And the gospel truly directs us in how we should share our faith. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That is a specific direction from Scripture that we are to go into all the world. Luke 10:2 says this, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into it. See, that sending, that going, that is a true direction from the Lord. I want to skip down to Matthew 5:13-16. It says this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, then how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown down and to trampled under by people's feet. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light into all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen and amen. There is a response for us, church. There is a response for us today. Secondly, we look at the gospel, how it compels us to seek and to save the lost. I want to point our direction to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at what Scripture has to say about the gospel compelling us to seek and to save the lost. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The gospel propels us to go and to share, to be a light that is on the top of the hill for everyone to see. That's what compels us today. Thirdly, let's look how the gospel commands us to go, to serve, and to care for the needs of others. This commandment from the Lord, and it says in Psalms 96:3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all of the people. It says in Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to do what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see this commandment of going and serving and caring for others? Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the case and the cause for the widow. There is a response today. There is a response and a command for us to go and to serve others more than we serve ourselves. And lastly, let's look at how the gospel, it upholds those who share, living their lives for the sake of spreading this message that we know as hope. 1 Chronicles 16:24, declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the people. And I love Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news. Now, I will say, I just put together a short 5-minute explanation of the response of what Scripture is telling us to do. I really do desire for each one of us to hear not a presentation this morning of, oh, let's look what Cottonwood Creek is doing, but ask a deeper question after listening to this. Through reading these scriptures of what, God, what would you have for me to do? How can I be on mission right now in response to this? We see three things. Being on mission, it fulfills the purpose of God in your life. The true purpose as believers in Christ is serving and caring more for others than you care for yourself. Caring for others more than you care for yourself. Again, from Scripture, we get this act of how it fulfills the purpose in our life. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in what? In humility, we consider others more significant than ourselves. And when we do that, we see our lives being filled up. We see the power of God begin working in our lives when we live our lives this way. The second thing, being on mission, it propels the gospel so that we become ambassadors for the Lord. Another term for ambassador would be a representative for the Lord. This comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God for the sake that he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we see at the beginning of that verse, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. How can we propel the gospel as an ambassador? Let me speak to the middle school and the high school student that's in the room. In your classrooms, being on campus, you are an ambassador for Christ when you live for Jesus in your life. When you serve others, you are an ambassador. You're being on mission. Stay-at-home moms, can I speak to you? When you are raising your child up and you're going through those days and sometimes it's difficult and you just need a break at times, but you know what? You're raising your child up to truly understand what it means to follow the Lord. You are an ambassador for the Lord there. For the executive, for the accountant, the lawyer, those of you who work out in the workforce and you're around people from all over the world, and our community has just become such an influx with Toyota moving in and different companies moving in their headquarters, and you are an ambassador in your workplace for the Lord, Jesus Christ living inside of you, to share the gospel. So we see that you don't have to truly be a missionary where you go off to a foreign land. You are a missionary right where you are. You're a disciple maker right where you are planted. And he can use you right where you are to propel the gospel. So that's what it means to be an ambassador. And that's exciting to me. And that's what I get excited about as a missions pastor. The third thing is this, being on mission, it empowers the Holy Spirit of God to use you for his purposes and his good pleasures all over the world. And so we see that this empowering of the Holy Spirit comes when we humble ourselves before the Lord and we seek him and we turn from our own ways. So I know that being on mission, it takes a lot of effort for us. It does take a lot of effort because it calls for a couple of things. It calls for us to be humble. It calls for us to sacrifice our own desires for someone else's. We have to live our lives in a selfless manner where we're favoring others more than we're favoring ourselves, and we're submitting ourselves to the leadership of God. But I will say, this is the life of us as the believer that we're called to. We're called to step into this role of living our lives to being on mission, because truly we will find more fulfillment in doing this than running from God and trying to figure out the purposes of God away from this in our lives. One of my favorite verses, you'll ask my wife Laura this, it's 1 John 4:19. It says, we love because Jesus Christ first loved us. And in that response of Christ loving us first, I cannot help but just put others' needs in front of us. Just say, what are your needs more than mine? God, what do you have in store for my life more than what I desire? And so as we close our time together, I really invite you to take these notes and just read them this week. Apply them and ask yourself this simple question. God, how do I respond to hearing what I heard this weekend about being on mission? How can I respond to that? But one way that I'm going to actively get us to respond in this room is through the next couple of minutes through our offering time. This is what I like to call controlled chaos is about to happen, okay? So normally when we have a time of giving our tithes and offering, then we'll have a prayer and the ushers will take their place and then we'll pass the offering basket around. But we're going to do something a little bit different today, okay? Really would love for you to participate in this as well as possible. So we're going to invite those who are going to get their hair cut for our Pink Heart Fund. This is going to be an offering unto the Lord today. We're going to ask you to give of your tithes and offering, and we're going to have the baskets. They are going to be passed around. And give this morning. This event of the gift costs $50,000 for us to do, but the impact of it is changing the world. So we're asking you to give not only a tithe, but an offering this morning. We're also going to be asking you, many of you have a box. You have a shoebox that you've prepared. Or maybe you already turned your box in. But what we'd like for you to do is during this song is to stand up, come to the front. If you already have your box, go ahead and pray over these boxes. But if you have your box with you, bring it up and just take a moment and to pray over these boxes during our offering time. And the last thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to have a slideshow and there's going to be highlights from our last mission trip. Pray over going on a mission trip. Pray over one of your bracelets during this time. So there's many ways to engage. So I've really belabored our offering time, but I want you to make sure that you know that after I pray, go ahead and get up and come and bring your boxes here. Be encouraged by those three ladies right here that are giving their offering for cancer. And just let's worship together over the next couple of minutes, and then I'll give us some final detail at the end. All right? So does that make sense what we're about to do? Yes? Ain't God good? All the time. God's good? All the time. Let's pray. Lord, just love you and thank you for our time this morning of just being reminded about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what is our part in responding to it, Father. Just teach us and mold us. And as we have this time of offering and giving back to you what you've so freely given to us, for us to pray over these boxes and dedicate these boxes to you, for these ladies who have given so sacrificially and grown their hair out over the past year for this moment right here, thank you for their sacrifice, Father. Would you use this to propel the gospel as well? Father, as we give, may we give with a generous heart, and might everything that happened in the next couple of minutes truly just honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.